For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
There are some things about the way they've gone about looking at Sanders that is a bit peculiar to me. Like, they didn't go to his pro day. And you can say, well, that's no big deal. They can, you know, when they have him in for a visit,
they can work them out.
They can work them out, but I don't know. Like, I would think Mike would want to do a more thorough investigation into a player.
If it's a quarterback especially, he'd want to dot all of his I's, yeah, cross like, all of his T's.
Like, he did that in the Kenny draft with Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder and
the only
Sam Howell
he didn't do it
and all
with
those
Kenny
guys.
Because he had seen them for so many years up close.
Exactly.
And he didn't feel like he needed to.
Right. So there is, I think, a possibility that this is a way of getting teams and people around the NFL to think they're going to do one thing, which gives them maybe a better chance of getting another guy, because it forces teams to make a move for a player that they don't really want to begin with. But if I had to guess, I do think Tomlin probably is a fan of Sanders and wants this type of guy as his quarterback, because he is turned on by the fact that he's beaten the odds.
He's Deion's kid.
He's played in immense pressure in scrutinized situations his whole life, not because he played at Alabama or Georgia or one of those places, but because he had all eyes on him and people rooting him to fail the entire time because
But he's not a spectacular winner against that backdrop. He hasn't been like this overwhelmed. And I know you're going to say, well, what was Elway's record? I know it doesn't matter in college, but like, you'd feel better about all the qualities you just talked about if he was also winning at like an exceptional clip.
See, I feel like he did do that there. I feel like in 2 years he took a team that was one of the worst in Power 5 and they won 9 games last year.
Okay, 9 games is a far cry from winning 11 or whatever, winning the conference.
Well, yeah, but
Kansas City and they got rolled by Kansas.
Yes,
noted
but they,
football power.
They were also Kansas also started the season ranked and Colorado didn't, and they were a team that was a perennial 1 or 2. They beat the FCS team on their schedule, and that would be it for them every year.
What was his signature win at Colorado? The TCU game, the very first one.
Maybe I think that's up there. Yeah.
What happened to that TCU team? They were revealed to be not a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, what's more impressive to you? Mac Jones winning a national championship at Alabama or Shedeur Sanders in 2 years taking Colorado
it's probably
from...
probably Sanders, but it doesn't impress me that much. That's the problem.
Well, what would a team accomplishment be for a quarterback that would impress you? Do any of the quarterbacks...
Kenny doing what he did at Pitt is more impressive in that 1 year than Sanders at Colorado. Given Pitt's like tortured history. in like recent history, where haven't been in a truly meaningful like postseason situation essentially since the early 80s. Like Kenny overcoming a lot of that history, not when they, but you can't say when they won a 9-way tie in the Big East and then got stomped by Utah. I would say what Kenny did for Pitt is more impressive to me than what Shedeur Sanders did
for 1 year. I would agree with you, but Sanders was good for 4 and Kenny was not good for 4.
Would Kenny have been a good FCS quarterback for the first 2 years of his career had he been playing FCS?
Probably.
So then you're probably taking 3 good years instead of 4 for 4 good years. To me, Travis Hunter, if you're talking about like his bona fides as a pro prospect, what he did as the number one recruit in the country, dominating a lower level, then dominating even more at the highest level for a team that historically does not dominate, is way more impressive than anything Sanders did there.
Well, yeah, and everyone agrees with that. That's why Hunter's going to be
the second pick,
and Sanders
isn't.
Sanders
rode his coattails, in my opinion. And I think that's going to bear out in how he plays as a pro. I think he's, at best, I think he looks like a lower-tier starter and a high-quality backup in the end.
Now, Tim Tebow was a first-round pick and Johnny Manziel were a first-round pick. So these teams have proven and GMs have proven that they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yes.
A lot of the time.
Fair.
Right?
Yep.
But if it were that black and white, like if they thought the NFL world that Sanders was just a product of playing with like the best two-way player in 100 years of football, then he wouldn't even be close to a first-round pick. And I don't even mean that in just like the, well, everybody gets overdrafted. No, like he'd be looked at as, I don't know, like a Matt Kavanaugh from when he played at Pitt or Ken Dorsey at Miami. Like somebody, or Matt, I guess Matt Leinart was a first round pick, so that's a bad example. But just guys who, well, the only reason why he was any good was because he had this number or this great player around him.
Yeah, I'll acknowledge he does certain things. I think I've been pretty fair throughout this process.
Like even with Hunter, Jeremiah is saying he's the 20th best player in the draft.
Okay, I disagree with Jeremiah. I would put him lower on my list, but like
it sounds like you put him much lower.
I think he's probably he's the second best quarterback in a class that has one guy that I think could be special in the pros in Cam Ward. Then I think there's a pretty precipitous drop off. And then I think he is the safest pick of the next several guys. But Milroe, as much as he is raw as a passer,
yeah,
more upside. Dart, as much as he comes from like the most simplistic quarterback-friendly offense going, more upside physically. Even Shuck, I can probably talk myself into it. The injuries are the concern. I just think your draft, like the main mistake you'd be making if you're Mike Tomlin here, and even Ryan Wilson said this, like a lot of people have, you're drafting a pretty low-ceiling guy when you're usually getting beat in the playoffs by high-ceiling, high-performance guys.
They're not in a good spot. Making the playoffs last year, winning 10 games again, put them in what it sounds like is a horrible draft position because the 49ers, for example, John Lynch came out and said today they have 20 first-round graded players. Now, that's one organization, but the 49ers have had a lot more success than the Steelers lately. They've gone to 2 of the last 5 Super Bowls. And he said 20. Where do the Steelers pick 21st? So they're like right in a draft that does not have a lot of high-end players, blue-chip players. They're right on the fringe of having access to those guys. Like, you and Donnie have both liked Derek Harmon. We had Ryan Wilson on last hour.
Not crazy about
him. He said,
about
him. Slow burn. I had to churn through hours of his tape.
He's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I don't like hearing my first-round pick described that way.
I'll admit, I don't like it either. Which is also why the other conflicting thing that Charles Robinson told us is he thinks Sanders, it's lining up more and more like Sanders is their guy. But then in his big notes post, like his big kind of info dump, he said they're one of the teams pretty obviously looking to move back. If you are looking to move back in the first round, even if you've done like your diligence and think the quarterback you like is going to be available several picks later, usually that position is so important and your feelings about the player are so strong, you're not moving back. You're going to stand pat there.
Unless you have great information on who's going to take who in front of you, like when the Steelers had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph and felt compelled to take his wide receiver in the second round and wait until the third round to take him, or like when they convinced Chuck Knoll that they could wait until the fourth round to take John Stallworth. I mean, it's all a gamble.
Okay, but I think it's an even bigger gamble if you are looking to trade back when we know that there are a couple teams, specifically the Browns, who are probably going to take Hunter, the college teammate of the player we're talking about,
yep,
who might be interested and have the capital to aggressively move back into the first round.
But here's the calculus on that like moving back thing and still getting Sanders. If you believe the Browns like Milroe and you believe the Saints like Dart, then that really only leaves the Giants.
Who love Sanders, allegedly, based on how many resources they have thrown at getting him.
Like having him go there for a visit last second year. So really, it's a two-horse race for him then. And that's the one team you have to...
God, I bet you Sanders would rather be in New York.
Like what Robbins... that's a good question, actually.
Like the Shadur Sanders,
but the Steelers...
The fame, all that.
I feel like the Steelers transcend all that. You're playing for...
New York is still New York, even in the NFL where there's parity and the Giants and Jets are.
I don't know,
man.
Like, do you feel like Patrick Mahomes' like ability to brand himself and get that kind of thing? Like,
no, but I
is hurt
I still
by
think,
playing
like,
in Kansas City. Of course not.
I don't think it hurt Eli Manning's career to be the Giants quarterback,
and I don't think it hurt Peyton Manning's career to be the Colts quarterback.
Okay,
that's what I mean. Like, I don't. Like, we're not talking about him going.
Is Joe Namath nearly as famous if he doesn't quarterback the Jets and if he engineers that upset?
No, but
that
was also football 60 years ago when baseball was still the national pastime and people didn't play fantasy football, bet on it like crazy, and football wasn't ubiquitous everywhere.
Would you rather play quarterback on a team, even though he is not exactly bathed in glory, that Brian Daboll is the head coach?
Hold on a second. I disagree with you on this, though. Like,
I know you do.
Maybe you're saying the Giants, but you actually think. If Deion had his druthers and the options were the Jets or the Steelers, he would say, let's go to the Jets because it's New York?
I think
no
that
way.
Would be a consideration.
Come on.
I do.
Given like their history.
You know what I'd love to know about?
And organizational dysfunction?
Yes, I do. Knowing what I know about Deion himself, you know what I would love to know the answer to? Deion knows Mike Tomlin. Does Deion know ball enough and is he plugged in enough to be like, wait a minute. Why would I want my kid playing for Mike? I know he has a great reputation among players. They all love him. Quarterbacks don't go there and do well. If Deion's casting a legitimately critical, analytical eye towards the Steelers, why the hell would he want his kid playing
here? He's not, though, because he's already liked posts on Instagram about the Steelers drafting Shadur. So he, through his social media back channels, is already putting out the signals that it's something that he wants to happen. 412-928-9370. Here's Noah and Duquesne joining us again. Hello, Noah.
Boys, how we doing?
Hey, man.
Mueller, how was Nashville? Did you drink anything cool? Golf anywhere?
Golfed at a very cool course. Played very poorly, Noah. But I did go to a
and
couple.
Poorly's probably like an 81.
No,
for
I
him,
shot
Noah.
In the 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I shot in the 90s. But... It was a tough day out there. Very windy, which I hate. Anyway, though, you know, I did go to a couple honky tonks on Broadway, like legitimate honky tonk bars.
See any boobs?
Very cool. No, did not see it. We were out like on Easter Sunday in the daytime because we had the kids with us.
So what? It's called Nash Vegas for a reason, man. It's the bachelorette capital of the world.
There were definitely bachelorette parties going around, but it was much more chill. But it was a couple of honky-tonks, Noah, that were very, very cool. I requested a song that the band leader said, I love that song. Unfortunately, the rest of the band doesn't know it, which was a big badge of honor for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Nashville's great, so I was just curious. I guess on the terms of Mr. Shadur Sanders... I acknowledge and almost agree with the things that Mueller has been saying in terms of you have to. I mean, this screams Kenny Pickett. It really does. Just the way that Tomlin talked about him today, and in the same ways that I could totally see Shadur Sanders being the same kind of guy of Kenny Pickett, where they just like to run out of the pocket in the opposite direction and throw it up into the sky. However, on that, I look into the future. I understand that this team, I don't think they could give two craps about who is on the team. They are going to try to win. So I look at it. We need a quarterback to win. I don't necessarily want Shadur Sanders, but I look in the future. You got Ayam Alava. You've got Arch Manning. And Ayam Alava just set himself back with UCLA. Arch, I mean, it seems like he loves Texas. He might be there for the next 5 years for all we know. And then you're left with Drew Allen.
Van Wilder at Texas? Like,
kind of sounds like it. They can pay him enough to be
No, I know.
Van
it's a different
Wilder.
World. Different world.
I mean, yeah, I hear things where it's like he hasn't been able to play a full season yet. Maybe I could see them going to the Final Four and losing, and he wants to run it back. And then what situation you're in, I know what it is. It's the same exact thing we're in this year, and then we got to wait again next year. And I feel like we can't actually evaluate Mike Tomlin and this – and all of this until he finally figures it out. And I know that's his
fault. Wait, isn't that part? I was going to say, we can't evaluate Mike Tomlin because he's the one who has the most sway in making these picks, and he's the one whose philosophies make it tough for them to develop quarterbacks. That's part of the judgment.
I know. Once he gets that quarterback, he doesn't get an excuse anymore. Get that quarterback. And
I know,
then
but you're, Noah, you're making like a chicken or the egg
go.
Argument.
Thank
he's
you,
the one who makes it difficult for them to get that quarterback. And then if they would get the guy, he's the one whose philosophies, I think, might make it tough for that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Player to throw.
You know, I haven't explored it. It's something, obviously, that he's going to have to deal with in terms of moving on beyond being coached by his father. But, you know, professional football is just that. It's professional football. I don't imagine it'll be a challenge for him. There are a lot more significant, you know, tangible challenges.
Mike Tomlin on Shedeur Sanders, a very direct question about will he have a hard time playing for someone that's not his dad. Tomlin thinks it'll be an adjustment, but that Shedeur will be able to handle it with flying colors. The odds makers think 2 days from now we'll have another first-round quarterback. We'll have Shedeur Sanders enter the fold. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? Tomlin said Rodgers looming over the Steelers has no bearing on their draft plans, but did say the moves you make in the draft usually affects the business you do with free agents. So if they draft Sanders, maybe they won't want Aaron Rodgers anymore. Maybe Aaron Rodgers won't want to come here anymore.
Pony, these last 3 days where I was off and in Nashville, did you feel like the Rodgers stuff cooled significantly?
I feel like most of the insiders we talked to went from saying it was fait accompli to thinking it was worse than 50-50.
Like, did that McAfee interview?
Yes, the McAfee interview.
That weird, inscrutable interview where he just talked vaguely about, what, family issues
or
something?
Yes, the McAfee interview turned the topic on its ear.
Did Cabali have big takes about that?
Cabali said he still thinks it's going to happen.
What if it doesn't? Do we get to dunk on Mark?
No.
Okay.
He was in the commode last night during Monday Night Raw and missed all the big moments that he was excited for.
How many minutes, over which how many minutes were like these big moments spread out? Was this like a 50-minute poop by him?
I mean, the show was 3 hours.
So he was really...
Talk about IBS.
And normally like the Raw after WrestleMania is pretty full of like notable moments. So if he missed all of them...
Man.
Maybe he needs to mount a TV in the bathroom.
I mean, I'm looking at...
Can't you watch stuff on your phone?
He could.
Depends, yeah. Well, it's a streaming show now, yeah.
But, I mean, if he's in there for 3 hours, I'm thinking major medical concern or just BS.
I mean, there are many, many women who are in labor for less time when they are delivering a child.
I mean, based on what we know about his son and his bathroom tendencies, it's not really all that surprising to me.
Just missed all of the show. All those big moments.
Chip off the old block. He's in there taking dumps the size of Chipotle burritos.
Gee, what a nice thought. What a pleasant thought.
Here is Vic and Hazelwood back with us. Hello, Vic.
Vic.
What's happening, fellas? Man, love you to death. And I've been telling Donnie for a minute now. You, Chris, Donnie, and the kid that works with Joe, you guys should get your own show, like a TV morning guest. Like they got Get Up. Y'all should get something called Sit Down or the Sports Junkie.
We would rip poor Austin to shreds, the three of us. It'd be like putting one of the Christians in with the Lions back in the Roman times,
everybody still likes to bring up to me the time you called in and said that you and your wife had a
scheduled
date once a month where things happened romantically. Do you guys still do that?
Yeah, Wednesday nights, sometime Thursday. But then,
well, not this Thursday because it's the draft, Vic.
Hey, listen, man, let me say this about the whole draft thing.
Yep.
I promise you, the Steelers can draft Barry Sanders, Colonel Sanders, or Senator Sanders. It's not going to matter as long as THT is the coach. He just, Truckhead Tomlin is just not going to ever do anything except kind of be, he's very arrogant to me. Like, you know, he always trying to talk down to people and talk down to some reporters and stuff. Man, let somebody else take, they should take you guys, have you guys as consultants for the draft and...
Well, I'll tell you what, Vic, we're going to put you on hold and give you the Pirates tickets. It would be hard for us
classic
to do,
Vic call.
It would be hard for us to do any worse. They've had one draft pick in the first round in the last 10 years get a second contract, and that was TJ Watt in 2017. And we'll see if Fautanu gets one.
Could the three of us have avoided making Terrell Edmonds a first round pick? I think we could have.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, now, Donnie and I might have advocated for Lamar Jackson that year, but you would have just pounded the table that we could not do such a thing.
We wouldn't have taken Najee Harris.
Definitely not. Oh,
we
God,
would have taken we would have taken Landon Dickerson,
yep.
And our offensive
we might
line would have been
taken,
much better
what,
right now.
Creed Humphrey in that same
Creed
draft.
Humphrey. There you go.
But then they do have Zach Frazier. Nice consolation.
After prize. Edmonds, you have, here's some of the names that came off the board. Taven Bryan, Mike Hughes, Sony Michel, yuck. Lamar Jackson, Austin Corbett, Will Hernandez, Nick Chubb, Shaq Leonard, James Daniels, Cortland Sutton, Harold Landry. Not a great...
I mean, a two-time MVP comes off a couple picks later.
That's the obvious pick, and they needed a quarterback in that draft because they took Mason Rudolph.
Now that we've brought his name up, so many people, when I just said, hey, if Shadur's there in the 20s, what does that tell you about what he... is as a prospect, given the quarterback needy teams ahead of them, the three teams that we've all mentioned. Oh, Lamar got picked 32nd or whatever. Like, here's my problem with that logic. Lamar got picked where he got picked, and he has become incredible. It took a massive leap of faith from John Harbaugh to completely retool an offense around the player. Why does anybody think Mike Tomlin has that somewhere buried?
He's not going to be able to do that, but I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, there's another
thing.
Lamar is also a top drawer athlete. Well, for the position, who also gave himself extra wiggle room.
I thought you were going to say, it's interesting that Steelers fans are now...
Oh, yeah,
in
Lamar
this
is this
argument.
An example of a great pick.
Yes. whereas most of the time it's Lamar Jackson is overrated and can't win the big game, which is what I usually say.
I think
about
Lamar
him.
Getting in like a purple and black monster truck and running it over the Steelers over and over again, 2 out of 3 games this past year, kind of cured most Steelers fans of their anti-Lamar bias.
Here is Mark in Newcastle. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, brother.
No, I mean, really, how are you guys doing? Because you guys are so negative, man. Like, are you guys okay?
Well, what do you want us to be positive about, Mark?
Well, you got a team that hasn't had a losing season in 18 years.
You kind of sound like you're like a friend of Cheech and Chong here asking us how we're doing, man. Do you want us to like toke one up here and relax?
What that would make for an interesting show, but it's 2 days after 420.
You guys are always so negative. You guys are always so negative, man. You got to look on the positive side. Look at Shador. Shador is sitting there for you,
yep.
And he's got Deion Sanders as a dad. You know what he's telling him? He's telling him, son, you don't make yourself feel good by sitting around drinking beers like Kenny Pickett. You make yourself feel good by going out there and winning a Super Bowl. That's what you want. You want a kid who wants to go out there and win a Super Bowl, not somebody who makes themselves feel good by telling themselves all kinds of good things.
Is this a put on? There's not a human being in Newcastle sounds like that. Not one.
I like the call.
Not one human being in Newcastle actually calls in with that new agey, like Cheech and Chong sound. No way.
Here's
no
Padre in Squirrel Hill. Hello, Padre.
How are we doing?
We're good, Padre.
I have a prayer.
Okay, hold
I
on here.
Let me
bow my head down here and get in the prayer space.
I pray that what Tomlin said was a smokescreen, that they will not draft a quarterback this year, that we go defensive line, that we trade Pickens if we can and get a younger receiver, but that we do not go with a quarterback. And go with Rudolph. Who cares if we have a losing season? It wouldn't be a bad thing. If you look back on recent Super Bowls, a couple years before the Super Bowl, each time they had a losing season. And that's okay. And Tomlin needs to just eat some humble pie and move on.
Amen.
I was waiting. I was waiting for you to finish that one off here. You an amen or an amen guy?
I was always amen.
Everyone ever calls it Amen Corner at the Masters, you'll notice.
Were you ever a family where you dip out on the prayer at the end and as soon as communion was done, you just go right on out the door?
No, my parents were very, I wouldn't say judgmental, but they definitely cast a side eye at families who did that, of which there were many.
Donnie, would you ever pull that stunt?
We occasionally did do it, for the record, only if we absolutely had to be somewhere where it was like, not life or death, but very serious situation.
Yeah, that would happen a time or two.
I can imagine your dad, if it was too close to kickoff, he's like, Don, we're out of here,
well,
brother.
Which was always the funny thing. Like, church for us, it started at 9:30, but you bet your bottom dollar if that baby went over 60 minutes, he was like, all right, we gotta get this baby humming.
Plus, it's only 10:30, so it's not like he's gonna miss. He's gonna miss like count or
NFL countdown.
Our church was about 100 yards away from our front door,
so you walk to it every time.
Yes,
man. We had R.I.P. This. I know this man passed a while ago, or not that long ago. His name was Father Bonadio. He eventually left the priesthood. I think he actually did just want to start a family.
Congratulations on all his success.
But he. They would do a 12:15 mass at my parish. He had that thing during football season down to a 35-minute science, man. It was unbelievable. We're not singing prayers.
Good for him.
We are ripping through this homily. We're doing spoken word everything. Most of the parishioners lived at most 15 minutes away from the church. He had you back in front of your TV well in time for Sunday's early slate.
I mean, you're really like running the gun there.
Oh, Donnie,
starting at 12:15.
It was a 12:15 mass. He'd have people out of there by 12:15.
You know what always
got
me?
Think about like, hey, let's get this bumped up to noon. I get these people out of here by like 12:40.
The problem was 10:30 was the big mass, so you actually could not do like that short of a gap between masses.
You know what used to get me jazzed up when I was a kid and we were going to church? Whatever Peace Be With You would start, because you knew you were in the home stretch.
Oh, I thought differently. Yeah. I thought differently about it. It was when you'd stand up for the Our Father. I was like, all right, we're inside. That's a 2-minute warning for
Mass,
basically.
That's another good one. Yep.
You know, you'd stand up and you'd know exactly what was coming. I'll tell you what, though, when that recessional hymn or the communion hymn was long, if it was a very crowded Mass, man, you'd be like, wow, they're just going to keep playing here. Then when you'd see a Eucharistic minister come over and help divide the line a little bit, if it was a really long center.
How about my grandmother?
Oh, yeah, you got to run two lines.
Like, come on,
you got
to run two lines. This is efficiency.
How about my grandmother once slapped me in the back of the head when I got done with communion?
Believable, even without you telling us why?
Because there was like a super hot chick that was like working like the wine glass when I was like, this is
working
like.
Working the wine glass?
Yeah, this is when I think this is when I was like 13 or 14 years old. And it wasn't wine. You know what it was? It was communion. She was working the communion.
You act like she's at a festival here. Yeah, you know, she was over there.
I think I have the story right. And I put my tongue out instead of taking it out. You know, you could either take it in your
hand. You could either put the hands out
and
there.
And she thought I was being a smartass by...
Like wanting to stick your tongue out at this attractive
and
woman?
And asking for it on the tongue.
Why did you not just tell your grandmother after the fact, like, this is the more traditional way to receive communion?
I don't know. She wouldn't have listened to that.
Wasn't your grandmother the kind of person, or isn't she?
She used to always like push me to do Stations of the Cross and stuff.
No. I would think like she loves sports though too. Like I would think if there was a big game on, she'd be more in line with that. Or if Easter was early one year and it was going to coincide with March Madness on Good Friday,
she would do the thing where we would go to she would find the mass that didn't conflict and was early enough where it wasn't a conflict. She was one of those types. If that meant like a 7 a.m. mass, we were going to the 7 a.m.
One of the more
mass.
Believable, like easy to picture things in my head is a 13-year-old Andrew Filippone getting smacked in the back of the head by
I mean, I don't know. Didn't
I mean,
you
that's
think,
just very
didn't
easy.
You think it was weird when people took the Eucharist just
no.
They put the tongue out like Michael Jordan trying to dunk the ball?
No, that's
thank
that's,
you,
a
Donnie.
That's a generational thing. It was never somebody
did
who
you
was
ever do that in your
old.
Entire life?
No, I always
well,
did
that's
the
probably
hands.
Why your grandmother smacked you. It was never somebody that was a kid doing that. It was always the older parishioners.
The old
what? Why are you laughing? That's
I don't
truth.
Know.
I certainly feel comfortable with his ability to do so. He got hampered by injury some in 2024. Appears to be ready to answer that. I know he's really excited about his opportunity. I don't think myself or anyone within the organization question his talents in regards to managing the ability to manage potentially that role.
Mike Tomlin talking about Jaylen Warren, who right now is Steelers running back one, and they signed him to a running back tender today, a restricted free agent tender. Sorry, it's football jargon. It's a one-year.
You're still reeling from the last segment.
It's a one-year deal.
Yep.
It's not a long-term deal. It's a one-year deal. It's decent money. It's not great money. It's basically, let's see if you can hack it and prove to us that you're the guy. The Steelers will absolutely draft a running back this week. It won't be in the first round. It could be as early as the third round. It could be as late as the fifth or sixth round. And I think it's possible, given the depth of running back and caliber of running back in this draft, that the guy they take that late could end up being their starting running back sooner rather than later.
God, I really hope you're right about the part where they're taking a guy late in the draft and that they're not desperately trying to find this idea of a feature back. I still don't trust them on certain things.
Travion Henderson is somebody who I think is a possibility for the Steelers in the third round. He won't be there, I don't even know why I say that.
Give me later than that even.
Yeah. Well, I think third round is still in play at 83. These are Tomlin takes. Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan talked for about 25 minutes today. Tomlin was actually more upfront and honest on Shedeur Sanders and some other things than he almost ever is with these press conferences. And when I say honest, it's obviously with an asterisk because he might have just been saying those things to get people off the scent of what they're actually trying to do. He was more willing to talk about a specific prospect than ever before, though. So here are some of the highlights without putting you through the agony of having to hear every single thing Mike Tomlin had to say today and having your eyes glaze over and you falling asleep like Kabali did at the owners' meetings. Here is one on Rodgers. This is Mike Tomlin being asked by Mike DeFabo about training camp, because at the owners' meetings, Tomlin said that training camp is like the deadline for Aaron Rodgers to sign. Tomlin was asked if he still felt that way today.
To be quite honest with you, I don't know that I meant that specifically for him or the circumstance. I'm just saying in general. You know, when you report to training camp, man, it's a line of demarcation for development of a group individually and collectively.
Decision continues. Would you be comfortable with him missing OTAs and then coming to your...
I hadn't pondered those things, to be quite honest with you.
Of course he has.
To be quite honest with you, the ultimate tell that he's lying.
he's going to let Aaron Rodgers show up whenever Aaron Rodgers wants to show up. And I think it's like that Tom Bodette will leave the light on for you thing.
Motel 6, baby.
If Aaron Rodgers decides to sign with the Steelers in August, they'll find a way to make it work with him. I think that Tomlin believes that
unless
he
they
can,
take Shadur Sanders, and maybe they don't feel the need to let Aaron Rodgers hold them hostage.
Yeah, but
all of it's so desperate, by the way. So desperate by Tomlin. I'll make exceptions to my own kind of unspoken rules because what the hell else am I going to do here?
Oh my God. If Mike Tomlin were Moses and came down with the Ten Commandments, you know how many times he'd have to
go back up and get
new tablets to either cross things out or make changes to those commandments? They'd have to come with like the BC version of whatever whiteout was back then.
A new rock. Taking a very biblical turn on this show.
You think the penmanship on those Ten Commandments was pretty good?
Couldn't have been. Imprecise tools.
But it came from God.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't like...
What do you mean?
...make the stones like look that way. Somebody's got
to chisel them. He probably did. He probably chiseled them out of his God magic. No?
Oh, yes. That's the formal term they used in Exodus, Donnie.
Here is Mike Tomlin... this is an interesting clip on working with Omar Khan and why it's so easy for Mike because Mike bosses Omar around.
You know, we're process lovers and it's really no shortcut to the pursuit of greatness. We spend a lot of time together. I don't spend a lot of time, to be quite honest with you, comparing and contrasting his mode of operation relative to Kevin's because our relationship is not a one. Oftentimes while Kevin and I were doing what it is that we were doing, he's been a part of that, and he's been here longer than myself. And so I probably hadn't spent a lot of time pondering it the way that you would do if a relationship was new. It's really kind of an extension or more of the same for us. Titles and roles change, but we're not a group that hides behind titles or desks. We're more of a get the job done collective.
Mm-hmm. More of the same. Back before he was the GM, he answered to me. Now that he is the GM, he still answers to me, and that's why things are so
hello, Omar. Meet your easy. New boss, same as the old boss. It's me. It's me. It's Mikey T.
We're process lovers.
God, is he a process sucks,
no,
man.
Process is not his strength. That's like when somebody says they're good at something and it's like doth protest too much, they say it. They have to say it because their actions say otherwise. Their process with Kenny Pickett was bad. How they handled him, their process
their
with
process won't be
Broderick Jones was horrible, has been horrible. Their process with Mason Rudolph was horrible, the way
that
they handled him.
In a way, that might be the worst of all. That was a disaster. Are you saying the process leading the player to being drafted or what they did after? Because you
all
could say both of that for Kenny. It was a weird process to bring him in here and then a weird process once he got
in
the program.
Adam Schefter reported the Steelers are one of the teams in the draft that wants to trade back. We had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on. He pretty much said the same thing. Here is Tomlin on why he doesn't like trading back.
We're always open, but because we do our due diligence, oftentimes there's somebody available that we're really excited about. I think it remains the same this year. We're open to moving up. We're open to moving back. We've done our mocks, but particularly in recent years, if my memory serves me correct, it's just always been people that we're really excited about when we're on the clock. And it's easy to get excited about prospects when you've done the work. I imagine I'll be in the same state this year.
I think that's part of the problem of having the coach so involved in the draft. Like, he goes and he does so much of his own work and takes so much of his own time and energy to study these guys that when he really likes someone, it's hard to talk him out of it. Like, it's a miracle, in my opinion, that they convinced him a couple of years ago that they could get Joey Porter Jr. at 33. And they kept them from drafting Porter there.
I had heard that it sounded like it took a significant effort for them to talk him off of that. We can have our cake and eat it too, Mike. And you know what I would love to know? Like, what's a sliding doors moment? What happens if the group of people, presumably Omar and Andy and maybe other people, who talked him off of that said, we need to trade up and get Broderick. Joey will be there at 32. And then for whatever reason, a team did something surprising and snuck in there and grabbed Porter. I would imagine you would have been able to see steam coming out of Mike's ears.
He would have, like, tried to turn the Nintendo off and start the draft again.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.